We stand for our gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please sit down. Well, rainbows are, of course, as we all know, optical and meteorological phenomena caused by reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light in water droplets, resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. Well, be that as it may, and it's amazing what you can find in Wikipedia, be that as it may, they have fascinated men and women from time immemorial. Rainbows mean many different things to many different people. This spectrum of light echoes the many facets of humanity in its wealth of expression, the richness of universal colour deepening and enlivening our otherwise monochrome world. And for all its familiarity, the rainbow continues to delight. How many times, seeing one, do we say, "Oh, look, there's a rainbow"? And we can probably all remember one, if not more, than one spectacular example where that "look, there's a rainbow" has been a truly wow moment in our lives. Well, for Noah and those, both human and beast, who survived the devastating flood in the book of Genesis, the rainbow is the sign of God's everlasting covenant between himself and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. A sign of his faithfulness to the whole of the created world. So in this spectrum of light, we have the promise of triumph over disaster, of hope out of devastation, of reconciliation for all time. That everlasting covenant, as we'll rediscover in these early weeks of Lent, is the covenant made with Abraham and renewed with Moses. And to be fulfilled in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us all back to the Father. St. Peter tells us in that second reading that we are saved not through the destructive forces of flood and deluge, but through the life-giving waters of baptism. Lent gives us all, as baptized followers of Christ, the chance to revisit that covenant, to reflect on God's purpose, to turn to him as Noah did in righteousness and trust, and to prepare ourselves for that ultimate act of obedience, the passion of Christ and the joy of the resurrection. So on this first Sunday of Lent in the year of St. Mark, we have his account of the temptations in the wilderness. In his words, the beginning of the good news. We know that with St. Mark, we can expect simplicity and a singularity of purpose in his writing, for his whole gospel rests on his very first verse, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we can be sure that nothing is superfluous. Here is a very concise account of a monumental truth. Christ's baptism, his desert experience, and the first steps in ministry are to be read almost in one breath. As he emerges from the waters of baptism, empowered by the Spirit and acclaimed by the Father, immediately He's driven by the Spirit to begin his ministry in the wilderness. And here are no details of stones turned into bread or testing with tricks, with towers and high mountains, just Christ and Satan, wild beasts and angels, and straight away, a mission statement in Galilee. The kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. And it is this good news that we are called to proclaim by nature of our own baptism. Our own ministry begins in these waters, our own acclamation as beloved children of God, our own Spirit-driven calling. As Mark lays out for us that simple, breathtaking truth of Jesus, the Son of God, so we look for the rediscovery of repentance, of turning to Christ, and the passing on of that good news. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, chose to share our flesh, the flesh of the everlasting covenant. And we, born of water and the Spirit, are called to bring others to see the heavens torn apart, to marvel at the rich promise of that rainbow in the sky, and to recognize the sign of God's faithfulness to us, his errant children. Well, in our collect this morning, we prayed for the grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to God's Spirit. So in embracing our own weakness, as Christ did in the desert, so we pray for the strength to confront the wild beasts in whichever form they beset us, to learn to resist the temptations of our worldly lives, and to give space for angels to wait upon us. And if we are to be serious in our discipleship, then we have to pay proper attention to how we spend this God-given time. Giving up luxuries, chocolate, sweets, alcohol or whatever, however laudable, can only ever be part of the story. For in giving things up which we can and probably should very easily live without, is hardly going to sharpen our appetite for food of a more lasting nature, that is spiritual food. A true fast means going without food. The physical hunger or discomfort we may feel reminds us that this is a penitential season. Repent and believe in the good news. Many of our religious orders choose to fast one day a week during Lent. We might consider doing the same. Frugal fare, just enough to sustain, and time spent on eating, released for prayer and devotion. Add to that almsgiving, giving money that would have been spent on food to a charitable cause, goes some way to fulfilling two of the demands of Lent. And that way, the Lenten fast is less of a self-satisfying endurance test to be rewarded by copious amounts of self-indulgence on Easter Day, and more of a real penance and a practical outcome. And if we are revisiting and renewing our relationship with God the Father in order to proclaim the good news of his Son, then it is of paramount importance that we stimulate our minds through a program of study and devotion of some kind. I note in the newsletter that there is a Lent group meeting in Pangbourne every Wednesday afternoon, studying the book To Seek and to Save, which has daily readings to follow, whether or not you are able to make the group, and you'll find the details in the newsletter. Or simply choose one or more of the many Lent books widely available at this time, and I'm reading Lent with the Beloved Disciple by Michael Marshall. But above all, Lent has to be a time of prayer, of time set aside in private, where we can be with our own wild beasts and angels. We're all busy people. We all have demands made upon us and on our time. But whatever we choose to do, we neglect our spiritual growth and nurture at our peril. Thank God our Lord himself didn't consider himself too busy to spend 40 days in the wilderness or to take up his cross and walk the way of Calvary. So may I wish you all a fruitful, uplifting and stimulating Lent. And however we may individually choose to observe it, let's resolve to do so, not trusting in our strength alone, but in the power of the Spirit, which drives us all out into the wilderness, that we may be better equipped to reveal the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we go out into his rainbow world to love and to serve in his name. Amen.